It's the Noble and Roos Show, brought to you by BallIsLife.com and Dash Radio.
Welcome back to another Noble and Roos Show. I'm your host, Zach Noble. I got Roos Williams out in L.A. as usual, and I got a special guest today. We got sophomore player Colin Sexton of Cleveland Cavs. How are you doing, Colin?
I'm good. No complaints this way. Just pretty much just been staying safe and out the way in the gym.
Awesome. We got a great conversation here coming up, and it's going to be crazy because we might get off this and we might have a new president. Suspense will be up in the air. So with that said, Colin, what's a normal day in your life been like since, it's what, 8 months now since you stopped playing?
Yeah, just pretty much like waking up early in the morning, if going to run, whether going to bike, and then like after I do all that, come back, eat a little bit, and then go work out. My days are pretty like structured. I do the same thing every day, so I have a pretty good routine about it. So
very good. So with that said, are you just training in Cleveland, or have you been out in LA or anywhere warm at all, or just with the staff in Cleveland?
I've been with the staff with Cleveland as well as my trainer in Atlanta. So I've been in here in Atlanta back and forth. So just trying to get the best work as I can and just be ready for whenever they say the season is. So
this has got to be the longest stretch you've ever gone without playing, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. In my life, absolutely. Like, you can go play pickup, this and that, but I'd rather be safe right now just to make sure that hopefully things slow down a little bit, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen.
Colin, to that effect, what types of things are you able to do or have you been doing to remain not only in basketball shape, but just to stay warm, just to stay in rhythm, right? You know, keep your shot going, things like that. Like, what have you been doing?
Just pretty much waking up in the morning while working out, and then as well as like going at the gym at night and getting can't get too many reps up. So I pretty much just been working on my shot, working on things that I need to improve on for my teammates pretty much next season. So I feel like I'm in a good space, good mindset, and I feel like I'm going to be ready for whenever the season comes back.
Do you have any certain aspects of your game you're focusing on more than other? Any like goals for this off season that you're trying to get after?
I just pretty much been putting on a lot of muscle on my body just so I can be able to take the contact and finish through the big. So I've been doing that, working on a lot of finishes, working on a lot of pull-ups, different things that is going to like help me keep improving and keep getting to the next level. So and then I've been working on a lot of catch and shoot stuff just because like Coach Bickerstaff, he's really good with like making sure that everybody's spaced out. He wants everybody to be able to catch and shoot. And his motto is get up more threes. And that's what we plan on doing this season.
So to that effect, man, if I remember correctly, I think you took about 4 threes a game last season around like a 38% clip, which is very good. So Coach Bickerstaff wants you to get more up. So what are we thinking? You can go like Eric Gordon style, shoot eight a game, or what are you feeling?
Not at all. He can shoot them. He can definitely shoot it. But I'm at least just pretty much maybe 4, maybe 5, maybe 5-6, just because I'm going to just take the good ones. I'm not going to try to go hunt threes. I'm going to take what's given. If they go under, I'm going to shoot it. If it's a catch and shoot, and I feel like my feet set, and I'm going to just step in rhythm and knock it down. So I'm pretty much just find the good ones, find the open ones, and mix a few tough ones in there as well.
You've always been a pretty strong player, I'd say. I mean, that's where you get – part of your nickname, maybe Young Bull. I want to get into that in a bit. But Basketball Reference has you at 190. Have you put on much more weight than that?
Oh, yeah.
What are you weighing in?
That's a while ago. I actually like lost some weight so I could put on more muscle, and right now I'm at like 199, 200. So I'm feeling good right now. Yeah, I'm feeling good and a lot faster and jumping a lot higher right now too.
Okay. Like, putting on vertical, like, what's the vert?
The vert is getting up there. I feel I feel like I probably jumped the highest I have in a very long time. So I'm feeling good.
Bonesy Colin Sexton, let's go.
Absolutely. I sprinkle in a few dunks here and there whenever I get the chance.
Without having played basketball for so long, man, especially you didn't participate in the bubble. I guess my first question is, how did you feel about, you know, watching these guys still playing regular season games and Cleveland was at home unable to play? Were you just itching, like, to play?
Yeah, I was itching to play. I definitely was itching to play, but we didn't deserve to be there. We didn't win enough games. Simple as that. And the only person you can be mad at is the team and ourselves. So I feel like next season we have a chip on our shoulder. We know what it feels like to be left out of something. And I feel like the guys on the team, they've been working that much harder so that we don't get left out. Like Kevin Love, KP, Darius, Tristan, just like Deli, like guys like that, Drummond. So we all pretty much like feel it, and we all want to pretty much get better at, like, Larry, he's been in the gym every day just working on his stuff, like, dealing, like, everyone knows what it feels like to be sitting at home watching the regular season and then watch playoffs. So that's even tougher. So we all know what we have to do. We all know what we need to improve on and get better at. So the only thing we can do is just continue to fight and for next season, just be ready.
I feel like you guys got some grinders on your team. I feel like you guys got some guys that have chips on their shoulder. I know, like, everybody in the league has a chip on their shoulder, so they say, but you've always played like that in my estimation. But there's guys, I think Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, those two guys, and then Kevin Porter Jr. in itself, I mean, I had him way high on my board. He was literally in my lottery, and he went like 30th overall. I just feel like you guys are full of underrated dogs, you know? So
absolutely.
I just feel like you guys are a team that could surprise people if you found a way to gel and get your stuff together on both ends of the ball and play more as a cohesive unit, because I feel like the talent's there. I don't think that's the issue in Cleveland. But I do like your core. Do you feel like you guys are a tight-knit group? You guys are working out every day, you're saying?
Yeah, I feel like we're becoming that much closer. We've been doing a few workouts here and there. We haven't been able to do workouts together, but we're in the gym with each other, just talking to each other, building that camaraderie. And when we had the bubble, it was big for us. We was like with each other 24/7, all day long, doing different things, and that's gonna help us. The stuff you do off the court is always gonna roll over onto the court, and that's how I feel. And for us to trust our teammates off the court and then be able to trust them on the court, then we should be really good.
So I was actually gonna say, if the NBA does resume, or when it does resume, it's probably gonna be, you know, in some type of environment that was similar to the bubble. Maybe not a bubble, but no fans and that whole kind of environment. A lot of things that Zach and I had been talking about with different guests on the show was asking players how they felt from their experience after the bubble, right? But you strike me as the kind of guy with your game and the way you play who could really see a complete increase, kind of like how we saw Jamal Murray go crazy, how we saw Donovan Mitchell go crazy. They're both scorers. And it just seemed like they were able to lock in almost like the bubble was like an AAU type environment, right? No fans, no nothing.
Yeah.
Just hooping. So how do you see that you can maybe benefit even more from that type of environment and kind of see your own respective outbreak?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'll be able to just to lock in and be able to focus on the task at hand. Work on winning. That's it. At the end of the day, the only thing that we want to do is win. No matter how we win by one point, listen, it could be 0-1. Listen, as long as we win, that's all that I pretty much care about. And whatever the team needs me to do, then I'm going to do it. So I really feel like the outbreak, it'll be there for sure, just because you'll be able to lock straight in on the task at hand. So,
Colin, I feel like you're a guy that's always kind of flown under the radar in my estimation. I mean, I had you 5 or 6 on my pre-draft board. I mean, you fell to 8, but you've outperformed where you've come in. And I know you've been on losing teams in the league, but that's never a young player's fault, really. I mean, a lot of it's environment. It's very, very rare a young player turns a team around, they start winning, and it's a team sport. So where do you feel like the misunderstood part of Colin Sexton's game comes in, or why do you feel like you're underrated? Because I feel like it comes in more so the fact that you're a combo guard, more so that you do all these different things. And it's like, where's Colin? People always say, where's Colin Sexton great at? I'm like, dude, watch the kid play. He's an excellent scorer. I mean, that's where I'd say you're really good at. And I mean, you're way ahead of schedule. You're the number three leading scorer in the one of the best draft classes, I think, of all time coming up here. And that says a lot. I mean, Luka and Trey are only guys above you in points per game right now. So why are you underrated in your mind?
I would probably say just the winning aspect. I feel like the winning aspect, and that's it. 2 years, we haven't pretty much won. And I would probably say after LeBron's era. So that's it, to be honest. So can't really complain about anything being underrated. Just going out there, just pretty much continue to play with a chip on my shoulder, and that's what I'm going to do. Continue to show and prove each and every night. No matter who I'm going against, I'm going to do what I have to do. So
winning solves all.
Absolutely. Winning
definitely does solve all. I kind of wanted to lightly shift gears for a second and talk about your tutelage under Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson is somebody that I remember growing up watching. You know, just for context, Colin, I'm from Houston. The Rockets played the Spurs in the playoffs a lot back then. And so I remember watching Avery Johnson growing up. Always had a lot of respect for Avery Johnson. And he did a good job with Dallas before he eventually moved on. So can you maybe speak a little bit more about, you know, what it was like being coached by him and your relationship with him?
My relationship with him is still great. I still communicate with him, still talk to him each and every week, each and every day. Like, just like maybe be like, yo, coach, how you doing? Just pretty much just checking up. Or he'll call me like, yo, I watched the game last night and you could have did this a lot better. Could have did this. He's always going to be a coach, but at the end of the day, he's a teacher and he's a floor general. So he knew where I wanted to get to. So when I was in college, he pretty much just continued to push me. Each and every day in practice, like he always put me on the second team, no matter what. I was on the second team, and he was like, if y'all don't win, y'all run. So it just pretty much made me become that much more competitive and eventually started winning. So he tried to change a few things up, but just him and his personality was always like energy, high energy. And that's how I am, always high energy and always just pretty much just thankful to just be doing what I'm doing, because a lot of people would love to be in my shoes. So just being there with him, I knew that he was going to pretty much just lead me in the right direction, and he was going to tell me what I needed to hear and not what I wanted to hear. And that's at the end of the day, nowadays it's kind of hard to hear that. People don't like to hear the truth, but he definitely always kept it real, kept 100 with me. So
I love that, man. You remind me of Fred VanVleet when he came on our show before he exploded and was up for awards and whatnot. And it's just I can tell you're humble, and you just know what it takes. You're looking to just get educated and learn the ropes, and then your time will come. It's where's Young Bull come from?
Just high school, just being a young dude playing and just holding my own pretty much. And just playing again with my brother team. They used to be like, young boy, just young boy playing. That's it.
Just clapping on those Ball Is Life mixtapes and
just a little bit.
Bullying just people all around.
Just having a good time. That's all. I just go out there and have a good time, and I love the game. So I just want to go out there and compete each and every second. So
I'm a big Minnesota Gopher fan. A long time. I was born and raised here. I got to hear about that special game, man. Like, that was one of the most memorable college performances I've ever seen. One man taking on, it was 1-on-5 for a long time coming. Roosh, did you watch that game?
You talking about the 4-on-5?
Yeah.
It was like 3-on-5, was it? Did it get down to
that? Yeah, it was 3-on-5. It definitely was 3-on-5.
I'm not going to lie. I remember when that came on, and that was how I got introduced to you. And I remember thinking, yo, this guy's crazy, man. I'm with this guy, tough. So talk to us about it, man. Tell us, like, walk us through that. This shit was wild.
Well, we had, like, pretty much a little incident at the beginning of the game. And me and Nate Mason, we had gotten to a scuffle, so I had got a tech there or whatnot. That was early. And, like, pretty much first, second half, maybe, early, we was shoving, pushing. I've been knowing for a minute, so I was going to let him, like, try to pong me or whatnot. So I got a tech early, and then the game was pretty much just real chippy. A lot of fouling, a lot of like hard fouls. And then all of a sudden, like, it was like a fight broke out with my teammates. And then a few of the players on the bench, well, all the players on the bench stepped onto the court. And once you step onto a court, like 1 foot, then you're automatically out of the game. No matter if you're trying to hold the team back or something like that, you're automatically in the locker room. So then we had five, and then Dazon Ingram, he already had 4 fouls anyway. So he tried to go for a rebound, and he pushed dude, and it was a 5 foul. Then the next play down, John Petty shoots a three. The dude rolls under him, he rolls his ankle. And then now it's at three.
God, so
now it's just like, all right, now we got to finish the game. But it was like 9-10 minutes left in the game. So it wasn't like 4 or 5 minutes. Like, we was playing for a long time.
Some of the craziest shit I've ever seen.
It's wild. Look, just so you know, for your own sake, like how things like that, how people remember things like that. I had, you know, I played like a little rec league, right, with just average Joes on Tuesday nights, or at least I did. At least I did before, you know, Corona. But a couple years ago, maybe 1 year ago, we were playing a game, and we only had 4 guys, and we're playing this team that's definitely better than us to begin with, and we're 4-on-5. And I just remember that game. I was like, yo, they almost won that game. So maybe we can try to do something like that. And we almost won. We lost by like 3. But, see? You know.
It's kind of hard to make wide open shots.
It's crazy. You. They ran a zone. I remember on us, they ran a zone. And like, what do you do with 4 people against the zone? You know, like you can't do anything. Kind of touching also on college again, man. Back to growing up in the 90s, Penny Hardaway was one of the baddest dudes around. Inspiring. To me, walk us through that, man. The little exchange y'all had, because you know you hoop with the chip on your shoulder, and you were just talking about how you had to, you know, kind of tough up to let your opponent know. So kind of walk us through that and like the aftermath or whatever, however that played out for you.
We was at City of Palms, and you know, Penny talks a little bit, and he talks a little bit, and I'm definitely not gonna back down to nobody. I don't care who you are. I'm gonna let you know how I feel, and as long as, and I was backing it up a little bit too. So it was like his Memphis East team, and I feel like we lost to him by like 2 or 3, but it was a real good game. I played really well, but just earned a little bit of respect right there. And that's it. That's all it was, to be honest. And we dapped it out to the end of the game, and no hard feelings. So
I think people are quick to forget, like, a lot of people leave it on the court, man. It's just hooping. When you're in the moment, it's hard to check yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure. Yeah. And that's what, like, it does, like, yeah, you talk on the court, but it'll never pretty much just roll off the court. At the end of the day, it's just like, all right, yep. But I think that's how it is now. So
very cool.
Love it. So one last question on the Minnesota game. What was going through your mind when it was 3-on-5 there for a bit? Like, what were you trying to decide how to play? I mean,
Well, coach, he was just like pretty much just saying, just continue to fight. Let's fight to the end. Let's not give up. We can come back. And he was saying it the entire time, like, it's hard to, he was like, it's hard for him to make open shots. And that's what he was saying the entire time. He was like, if they want to shoot a three, let them leave it. So once we pretty much just started getting stops, we started scoring, chipping away. I think it was like 14, 15 or something like that, and brought it all the way down to like 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So that's that. We'll take that any day of the week. So
that's amazing. That's like, they might have won the war, but you got the last laugh out of that. You made the history in that game. That's for sure. That's, I think people will always remember you that by, and it's good to have a memory in college like that. Especially in the hoops world, if you're going to play in college, might as well make a memory.
For sure. Have a memory that's going to last for a long time, for a lifetime. So
for sure,
I'll take it.
So speaking of memories that last for a lifetime, I would be interested to hear a little bit about what it's like getting drafted, you know, on the team, on the same team that LeBron James has been known and so known for and so strongly tied to. And just expectations that come with that, especially as a young guy and a young player in the league.
If you even feel that in Cleveland yet.
Yeah. I would probably say just pretty much just – I was actually at the finals the year that they lost. I just felt the atmosphere or whatnot. And it was just crazy, like that feeling. And I wanted to definitely be able to go back to that feeling. And it's different type – of basketball, playoff basketball is totally different. And I understand the fans here, they love their sports. They love they love what they do, and they love watching us each and every night. So it's not pretty much like pressure thing or anything like that, but we just definitely want to perform for ourselves and for the fans at the end of the day. And he brought him a lot of wins. He brought him a championship. So now they're like, all right, now we can't just be bad for a long time. Now we gotta get back to it, which I totally understand. So
2018, that was before you got drafted. You went to the finals before draft time, just because you wanted to experience it.
Well, actually, I had my draft workout the next day, and they lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Warriors the day before. So when I had my draft workout, it was kind of quiet in there. That's no sick. One was saying nothing. They were definitely disappointed and upset. So I was like, damn, how's this going to be?
The day after?
It was definitely tough. Yeah, the day after, next morning. Like, I think I had to be at the gym like 8:39, and I had my draft workout, but it went well. I performed, and the rest, I'm here now. So,
see, that's crazy to me, because it's there's got to be just wild expectations when you're in that building. Obviously, I don't think LeBron had announced that he was leaving at that point, but I think a lot of people assumed it, you know. And you're balancing all that, and you still obviously perform well enough, and they drafted you, right? So, pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Story.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Did you have a welcome to the NBA moment?
Not no welcome to the NBA moment. I just probably say just probably putting on that jersey and running out that tunnel and hearing the crowd go crazy for the first game. That's a different type of feeling. I'll probably say that was probably one of the best feelings I ever had. That one, as well as getting drafted, those two are like at the tops for me. But just putting on a jersey and it's a Cleveland on the front, and just knowing like, all right, I made my dream come true. Now what you gonna do to stay here? So
sure, and you're doing just that, definitely. So you got three guys in Cleveland: Darius Garland, yourself, and Kevin Porter Jr. You guys all play very similar. Okay, I'm curious to how you think and how Coach JB is trying to make this happen with all three of you there.
We're going to make it happen. We're definitely going to make it happen. We got strong guys. We're mentally strong, mentally focused, and ready to go no matter what. So we'll definitely make it happen. I feel like we'll be good for sure.
More so off ball yet? Or, I mean, is it just a combo or just continuous?
Yeah, just pretty much. Yeah, just continue much combo, intertwine. Yeah. Just pretty much whoever get it, let's bring it up, let's run, and let's use our speed, athleticism, let's get down the court, and then on the other end, let's lock up. I know that's what we do. So
you guys were 23rd in pace last year, so I expect you to be at least top 15 this year with you three.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Get it up on that, and I feel like that will definitely help help us on the other end as well. So we'll see.
So one thing I always like to ask, obviously you're a fearless scorer, so I don't think you'd be afraid of going at anybody, but two questions. One, if there's anybody you don't particularly like to see guarding you, who is that? Who gives you a little trouble, if anyone? And on the other end, who's the toughest person in the league that you have gone up against so far in terms of having to guard them?
Well, as far as, like, anybody guarding me, I'm not really fazed by that. At the end of the day, you do what I do. You put your shirt on just like I do. So, I don't really care who I go against. But as far as, like, hard to guard, that I actually had to guard, like, a full game, I'd probably say Bradley Beal, Kyrie, Kemba. Jimmy Butler is definitely tough just because he knows how to draw fouls. Lou Will, he's very crafty. Kawhi. Like, guys like that. And when it was last year, when KD was playing and he was healthy, he was very, very tough, like, cover for not myself, but for my teammates, just because, like, he'd do it all. And that was the first time I actually seen it, like, firsthand. Like, yo, he's nice for sure.
Who's the one guy in the league that when you are facing that, you know, whatever team he's on, not only you, but the whole team knows, okay, things are revolving around this guy. We need to stop this guy, and we may or may not even be able to, despite the fact that we know we have to. Is there anyone like that?
Probably Steph, Kemba, probably Devin Booker. Just guys that.
How does that make you feel, Roosh? Not mention your boy.
No, it's all good. That's why I like to ask, man. I like to hear actual players who actually do it, right? We always We always see Twitter. We always see guys talking, blogging, yada, yada, yada. I don't want to hear from the dude sitting at home like I am. I want to hear from the people that actually play, you know? And I think that's really interesting. Bradley Beal's a guy, Colin, just so you know, he thinks I'm expecting you to say James Harden because I'm from Houston. So that's why he's ragging on me. But Bradley Beal's a guy that I have a ton of respect for.
I really
like hearing that answer because I think he's an incredible scorer.
Like, yeah, for sure. He's an incredible scorer, incredible like playmaker. Like, those guys who get their own, but as well as make guys around them better. Like, yeah, Harden for sure. Like, everybody knows Harden. No, but some of the underrated, like, guys that are, like, really good. Like, honestly, Montrezl Harrell, he's really good. He does what he do, and he plays his role really well. So it's kind of definitely tough. You can always name the big guys and guys that have, like, a really big name, but you always got to name some of the guys that are, like, doing it really good as well and not getting as much recognition. So
it was interesting to me because all the guys you mentioned that have been, like, the toughest guys to guard and give you the biggest challenge there, they all know how to use their body and their positioning really well. I mean, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Lou Williams, Kyrie, the only guy really that doesn't is Kemba that you mentioned. But he's just got killer handles and a step back. So
For sure. Yeah, some of those guys, like, at the end of the day, I feel like even to the last person on the bench, if you're in the league, you're here for a reason. People think just because he scores 4 points, like, he can actually go out there and play. Every player on the NBA roster is good, and it's not easy. It's not easy to be in the NBA. So
I can confirm that. Yes, it's not. It is not easy to be in the NBA. Definitely not. We have a ton of respect for what you guys do. We wish we could do it, but we can't. So we watch it and we talk. So growing up, man, you were born. What, 99, I think?
Yeah, 99, yep.
He's the last of a dying breed.
Last of a dying breed.
90s, baby.
Yeah, straight up. So, like, who were you growing up watching? What was inspiring you? Which players, which teams, what style? You know, like, what were you absorbing when you were coming up playing, trying to model your game?
Actually, just growing up, I was watching a lot of Allen Iverson, a lot of Kobe, lot of those. Yeah, for sure. One of the greatest ever to do it. For me, I feel like the greatest for me, but
I'll probably say
for me.
Okay, respect.
Yeah, him and Jordan is kind of like, I feel like you just got to say the different type of eras. You feel me? Like,
deep dive into the different eras and break down your perspective of MJ, Kobe, if you want to throw LeBron in there. I would love to hear it from somebody who does it.
I'll probably say, we'll go with the MJ era. Well, like, guys, that's a tough era. Fouls, pretty much each and every night. They don't have none of the, like, resources that we have, none of the things, and they're going out there doing it each and every night, like, not taking no days off. It's no type of rest. Oh yeah, like, minute, like, no, nothing.
Bro,
like,
I can't believe you are making me so happy. Please keep going, man. I love hearing it from a young bull, for sure. You know, keep going, please. I love this.
those guys were like MJ. He was just going out there and just doing what he do, and just pretty much like how he changed his game to become like a winner. Because, like, it's crazy how he didn't leave teams, or it wasn't like that. Like, he was going to stick with his team and figure it out the entire time. And then I would probably say with Kobe's, like, it was that you could change. You could see, like, the passing of the torch pretty much. You could see Jordan passing it to Kobe, and Kobe going out there and doing it and winning championships and scoring pretty much the same way that MJ did it. And then Kobe passing to LeBron, basically, and going against him pretty much those Christmas Day games where I was watching them at home, like, yo, they're actually going at it. Like, it's definitely crazy just to watch, like, the passing of the torch pretty much from Kobe to LeBron. Like, those.
I wish we could have seen LeBron beat Orlando so we could have seen that finals.
Yeah.
I think ballaholics got deprived of was a Kobe LeBron finals. But so, just so I can be clear, when you watch those clips of Jordan, for example, playing against the Pistons in 88, 89, and you see these dudes straight up tackling him and all that, as an NBA player, do you look at that and say, yo, that's a different game? Like, that, if I had to deal with that, it would be tougher?
yeah, that's a different type of game. That's a different type of mentality for him to continue to do what he do. Like, he was going out there getting 30, but he was doing it without shooting no threes. Like, he was getting a lot of twos. He was shooting very efficient from the field, and he was doing inside out as well as playing defense on the other end. So you definitely forget about that. Like, you, everybody sees the scoring, but he was definitely going to the other end and locking up as well, two-way.
And it's easy to go on basketballreference.com and tell me what the VOR percentage was. And, oh, his TS percentage, man, that's what I like to hear, right? Because
yeah,
I was never a guy that could hoop at any level, even halfway close to you. But when I hoop, I understand how difficult those things are. When someone's checking you on the hips, when someone's bumping you, when you're doing all this, yeah, just shooting mid-range twos with no space and nobody to space the floor for you. That's one thing I think a lot of the bloggers forget when we start comparing players, is they forget to compare the eras, because the eras were so different that if you don't adjust for the different things in those eras, then like I really, you might see me argue this on Twitter. I really think if LeBron was coming up in the 80s and the 90s, he'd be just as dominant, but they probably try to make him play power forward. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they might try to change the position. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or they might they might be like, yo, sit on the wing. We're going to have the point guard bring it up and then run the offense. And, you know, not like,
then basically, yeah, you might be right. Definitely, just because, like, now you see, if you watch, like, the different type of bigs now, like, you pretty much, like, Kareem, then you go, like, with Shaq, those guys play totally different now, and then you go to, like, basically, like, Paul Gasol, and you start seeing the different type of eras. Now you go with say Kevin Love, for instance. He's a big, but he's out there shooting the threes. Like, he's, you can, like, the game has evolved either way, and you can tell, like, once the game evolves, you have to be able to pretty much, like, be able to adjust. Like, Joel Embiid, he's out there shooting threes. Like, he's, you know, like, if you don't step up, I'm gonna knock it down. Like, he's doing his thing.
Straight up. Like, when I hear people say, yo, he can shoot threes, Hakeem Olajuwon couldn't, so Joel Embiid's better than Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm like, bro, if Hakeem Olajuwon was playing in 2020, yep, they would have him out there shooting threes.
Shooting threes.
You know? He made one in the finals in 1995. He made one in the finals, like, the last shot we made before we won. Like, these boys, NBA players can do it. It's not that they couldn't shoot in the 80s or the 90s. It's not that they didn't have the ability. Right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like, honestly, I know, like, we watch pretty much all the records and stuff. Like, Reggie Miller would have been shooting way, if he was able to shoot 8-9 threes a game, like, he would have shot way more, to be honest. But that wasn't the game. Like, he was getting to the basket, he was shooting twos. Like, now you got guys who are strictly like, you know, don't come in the mid range, shoot straight threes. Yeah, so
shoot, hallelujah,
definitely.
Man.
You think JV's going to let Andre shoot him? I see Andre's been always posting him in clips. So I just don't know about it.
Yeah, he'll be able to shoot a few, like, the corner threes for sure, pick and pops. If he practices them, you know, JV's going, he's going to give him the green light to take a few. Like, Tristan, towards the end of the season, started knocking a few trail threes down, just because, like, if you see him practicing each and every day in practice, then in the game, yeah, might give him a few. Let them take a few. So
Colin, every young player that comes on this show has gotten better, and so things are only going up for you. I mean, we've just been pretty lucky for that on the Ball is Life podcast. Tell me this: what are some of your goals you have for yourself, whether it's this next year coming up or just next 5 years or your career coming up?
I would probably say just to get better this whole season, use this off season to get better, and then win for me, and just be one of those guys where they pretty much just talk about, and just continue to show people what I can do, and that's continue to play with that chip on my shoulder, and I'm not going to lose that just because that's how I play. So just going out there each and every day, playing chip on my shoulder, and continue to play on both ends of the court. And my goals, I have a few goals to set, but I don't really tell people my goals. Okay. But I definitely want to one of my I want to make the playoffs for sure. I want to make it to the playoffs. That's the goal. I want to start winning. It is what it is.
That. They're all revolved around team and winning, and that's amazing, because if you develop that now, and I mean, you're the leading scorer of the team right now, and if your team's winning, that your awards and every accolades, everything else, all the other stuff will follow it, man.
Absolutely.
That's the mindset for sure. So no homo, nothing like that. I love your hair. I've always liked your hair. Where do you think your hair ranks in the league?
I'm not sure. A few of the guys have different crazy hairs, like KP.
He's got good hair.
KP.
It's wild.
Darius is growing his hair out now too. So okay. Yeah, Darius. De'Aaron, he has some crazy hair as well. So certain guys have different type of hairstyles. So we'll see.
How long have you had the tail?
Well, I keep it like a certain length just because it grows pretty long, but I had it probably freshman year in college. So just some kids back home, a lot of people back home have, I go to the gym, they have it. So I just continue to pretty much just keep it. And that's pretty much how people notice me no matter where I'm at. And they see the tail, they're like, oh yeah, like, oh, that's Colin Sexton.
That's the dude.
Yeah, for sure. So.
It's a trademark,
Yeah, it definitely is right now. So we'll see.
All right. With that said, let's wrap up on this. What's Colin Sexton about outside of ball? What do you like to do outside of basketball and in your free time?
Outside of basketball, in my free time, I pretty much just hang around the house, just pretty much watch movies. I'm a big movie guy, and I like watching movies and just being with my family. And I like
Top
shoes. My top two movies, I like Drumline. Drumline is my favorite movie.
I love Drumline.
Yeah, that's my. It's just because it's based out in Atlanta. Yeah. I like Pride. Pride was a good movie too. Like those movies, like I like so.
Just so you know, Colin, I saw Drumline when it was out in theaters.
Yeah, same.
Oh,
same.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure you saw it on TNT. Sure. We saw it in theaters when it dropped.
Yeah, I seen it. Oh, yeah. TNT, BET. Like, I didn't see it on theaters. I was too young then. But
I think because of Drumline, I went out for the band, and I got caught immediately because I was so bad.
At least you tried. At least
I gave it a go.
Yeah, but, like, movies, shoes, and just, like, different like, like pieces that I might like little
art. We're talking art.
Yeah, like art. Oh,
okay.
Like different stuff, like collectible stuff, like yes. Jackie Robinson stuff.
Super dope.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, like U.S. Let me see. I just got these in, like USA stuff, like the old.
Oh yeah, nice dude. That's
dope.
Yeah, so different cool. stuff like that. Like just going flea markets and finding them for like nothing. So. That's, awesome. That's what I do.
Hey, was that 96 team? Didn't they play? I could have swore they played in
Georgia. Yeah, 96. Yeah, 96 edition. Grant Hill, Reggie Miller, Hakeem,
Elijah Wan. Yep.
Yeah, and then Glenn Robinson. So, yeah, I definitely do some things on free time for sure.
One of my big collections was bobbleheads.
Bobbleheads for sure. Yeah. Me and my brother used to collect cards so much. Like, we had like a big card collection. So,
cards are making a comeback. Maybe,
yeah, they definitely are. They definitely are, for sure. And I've been having a deal with Panini, so those are my guys at Panini just to keep the cards coming. So,
hey,
I want to know how much the Colin Sexton card's worth right now.
I'm not sure.
You gotta start cashing in on those.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to find them.
Real quick, shoes. Yeah, you said you're a big shoe guy. How many pairs you got?
Too many. Hundreds probably, but hundreds maybe.
Are we discovering an underrated shoe lord in the league right now?
Does PJ Tucker have competition?
Yeah, like PJ has really shoes, like, but he wears like the shoes on the court. Like I have a lot of shoes that I have, but I'm not wearing them on court just because I gotta make sure my feet are good. I don't know how he does it. He's a different breed. Like he wears anything on the court, but he has a really good collection. DeMar DeRozan, his collection is up there for sure. I definitely put him up there with PJ for sure to battle PJ. Yeah.
Best Jordans. Your favorite Jordans.
My favorite Jordans, I'll probably say Jordan 1s, those are my favorite Jordans. I like the Forest a little bit. So,
What are some other off-court shoes you like?
Off-court shoes, I've been in a lot of, like, comfort right now. Like, so the Nike Reacts have been really big for me just because, like, comfort, and I walk a lot. I bike a whole lot.
Cool.
And those have been, you can't wear heat all the time. You gotta switch it up. You gotta wear something comfortable. And I'll probably say some, the off-whites are cool. Yeah. But like different stuff like that, Air Forces. So
I usually try to switch it up. I usually know, but what are you rocking on the court these days?
I like the KDs right now. The new KDs. They've been pretty good for me. And as well as the Kyries. The Kyries are definitely cool as well. So
we can expect you to stick with Nike for a while?
Yeah, for sure. Very definitely. Good. Yeah, for sure. So
on that note, I think that's a bar, Rusher. You got any last notes?
I just wanted to say tons of respect on knowing. It seems like you're really well versed on the history of the game and you're really interested in it, and I love to see
junkie
that.
I love it.
Yeah, man, I love to see that, especially from a young cat that's, you know, got a lot of special things hopefully ahead of him. Really cool to see that. So tons of respect. Look, man, whenever you're in Houston, just take it easy on my Rockets, okay? Just take it easy on my Rockets. Just remember, just be like, okay, Roosh is gonna have his heart broken if I whoop these Rockets, so just try to take but other than that, man, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Colin, we really appreciate it, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep watching that film. Keep grinding in the lab, and things are going to come your way, man. I see it. I feel it. And best of luck, man. We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.